Warner Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. Warner Brothers presents a Mount Company production, starring Mel Gibson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kurt Russell, Raul Julia, Tequila Sunrise.
Whose idea was this?
What idea?
Meeting here.
Theirs. Why?
Because it looks like we're out here dealing dope, that's why. You like listening to static?
It's tough getting FM on,
well, sure, under a fucking freeway and high tension wires. These guys are late. Hey, what time did they say they were going to meet you?
7.
Yeah, they're real late.
Okay, what do I do about it now?
Well, Al, yeah, why don't you just back up and see if you can get K-Earth? This is not too cool. He ought to lower his brights at least.
Lights, goddammit!
Jesus Christ, we're just meeting here to make sure we weren't followed.
We'll meet, I know we'll meet.
Christ, how did I get here?
He's got the cash. Then we gotta go weigh it and test it.
Well, hey, why not just do it on the hood of the car?
It's nighttime. The two men's car moves forward.
Stop here.
The man gets out from the passenger's side and walks across the road, which is littered with peanut shells.
What are you looking at?
Peanut shells.
Now, both men are in a building overlooking a parking lot.
Right. Jesus, go into the room and leave the door unlocked. I'll be there in a minute.
The driver heads off. After quietly closing a door, his companion trots up a flight of stairs. Seeing some peanut shells on a step, his eyes widen and he ducks down quickly. Later, having joined the driver in a hotel bedroom, he takes a briefcase into the bathroom. Inside, he squeezes the air out of a large pack of white powder that he's taken from the case. Then, after putting a wedge in the toilet cistern, he places the packet on top, then replaces the lid. He returns to the bedroom with the case.
What are you doing in there? Who is it?
Answer it.
It's Leland, Dan.
The driver answers the door.
Andy, how you doing, baby?
Great.
You're the Nick. Nick's my partner.
Hold it. Who the fuck is that?
It's a friend.
He's not my friend. I got all the friends I need.
He's my ride. He drove me, that's all.
Without emotion, Nick turns his cool eyes from the briefcase on the bed to the guy in question.
Then let him wait in the car. I don't like meeting strangers.
Look, I assure you, he's just a friend of mine.
Hey, that's cool. Just let me take a quick leak and I'll be out of here.
He disappears into the bathroom.
Deal's still good?
How do you want to weigh it and test it?
We'll work it out, Andy.
As the guy's leaving...
Maybe it's none of my business, but I don't think you should be looking for any new faces in your life either.
Fine with me. I'll wait outside.
Nick follows the man out.
Hey. I thought you retired.
I am retired.
What are you doing here?
A favor.
Oh, you mean a felony favor?
Client, if he's paid him off with a pound of coke, and he wanted me to hold his hand while he sells it.
Man, that is one flimsy fucking excuse.
Oh, yeah? He also tells me his customer in there is asking more questions about me than the dope. My phones have funny little noises on them. You're setting me up, Nick.
Not tonight, pal. I got here by accident.
Oh, talk about a flimsy fucking excuse.
Later. This is going down right now.
And do yourself a favor. Don't go back to the car.
Well, don't you go back to the room. There's no evidence. I'm sorry, Nick. I couldn't afford to have him busted. As dumb as he is, he's my lawyer.
He leaves. Taking a drag on his cigarette, Nick goes to a window and sees a chopper circling in the night sky. Moments later, he's barging through a media scrum outside.
Who authorized this shit?
You did, Lieutenant. Look, Nick, that's what we were told, okay?
Agitated, Nick smooths down his tie and slicks back his hair.
What a waste of time.
Unit 345, return to parking lot.
As soon as a group of cops pass by, the guy from earlier drops down from his hiding place on a ledge. Crossing the road, he stumbles and has to stop to tie his shoelace. A car's headlights sweep over him, and he quickly looks down. Cops with torches are on a roof, scouring the area.
Got a runner going across the freeway!
The guy checks his watch, then slides down an embankment. At the bottom, he trots alongside a perimeter fence, then leaps over it and hides behind a wall. He sees cops with torches at the top of the embankment, under the freeway bridge. Now running through water, he trips and lands flat on his face. A chopper's searchlight sweeps across him, so he quickly ducks for cover behind a concrete pillar. Once the coast is clear, he moves on. Now he's on a payphone by a graffitied wall.
Delinaris, good evening.
Hi, this is Dale McCusick.
Yeah, Mr. McCusick, I'm sorry, it's a little noisy at the moment. Aren't we seeing you this evening?
I don't think I'm going to make my reservation. I'm going to be a little late.
Well, how late will you be?
I don't know. How late is the kitchen open?
A white saloon does a sweeping U-turn, then parks opposite an upmarket restaurant. Nick gets out and marches over to a van that has blacked-out windows. He stubs his cigarette, takes a moment to compose himself, then slides open the door. He joins a couple of surveillance men inside.
Tell me something, Hal. When you asked for my help at the last minute, you didn't know who it was you were asking me to bust?
I know who it was. Why didn't you bust him?
Well, you know that too. He's a friend of mine.
Hal whips off his headphones.
I gotta tell you, one of the first things I heard when I came to L.A., Nick Freesia wouldn't work the South Bay because he didn't want to bust Dale McCusick. Well, tonight you proved that point. You not only let him walk, you kicked him out of the room and gave him a personal escort. Why?
Because you're predictable, Hal. You're very predictable. Max saw you coming a mile away.
How the fuck did you know he wasn't holding?
Was Andy Leonard? You busted him. Okay. No coke, no sale. No conspiracy to sell. I mean, all you got is a lightweight conversation with a chicken shit Century City lawyer. And a probable lawsuit for entrapment. Max lawyers would have made mincemeat out of you. I let him walk to save you from a bad bust. I did you a favor.
Hal stares at him, unimpressed.
Hello, Mr. McCusick. How are you
this evening? Fine,
thank you.
What is it?
Hal puts his headphones back on.
Mr. McCusick.
You're kidding.
He's in and out of this place all the time. Andy Leonard's the lawyer for this restaurant. You know that?
McCusick and the Valinaris are talking drugs and money?
God, they're real careful what they say.
How about letting me hear?
I told you, Nick, they're real fucking careful.
I'm sure you're right, Hal. Could I hear at least?
Yeah, sure.
A speaker gets switched on.
In that case, why don't I give you a taste of something different tonight? How about rigatoni?
Rigatoni?
Rigatoni quattro formaggi, a creamy blend of four Italian cheeses. Fontina, telaccio, gorgonzola, and parmigiano.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good to me, too.
Renee, Mr.
Look, Hal, before we spend another $5,000 to hear what Max having for dinner, take my guys off the clock and let me ask him.
How about another tequila sandwich?
Unless you guarantee the federal government's picking up the tab tonight.
Inside, the restaurant is bustling with well-heeled clientele. A blonde woman shows a couple to their table, then glides on through the dining room. Nick arrives at Mac's table.
What's good here?
Well, everything. Why? Are you hungry?
I missed dinner. What are you having?
Well, a little pasta.
Something like rigatoni quattro formaggi?
Good guess.
Dinner's over, Bart. Pay the tab at the bar.
The guy sitting at the next table gets up and goes.
You just had the head of narcotics for LA County arguing with the Drug Enforcement Agency about what you're doing in here.
Well, why?
What do you mean, why? You're a drug dealer and you don't pay your taxes.
I'm not exactly active these days.
Yeah, but you're a legend around here, man. Not only that, you're white. I figure when they print your picture in a paper, they'll be able to see it.
So what do you figure, Nick?
I made lieutenant, Mac. It'll be announced next week. I'm the head of narcotics for LA County.
Gee, congratulations.
That's all you gotta say.
Well, what about your law degree? I thought you were trying to get into the DA's.
Stop worrying about my fucking career a minute. The federal government swears you're doing business in here.
I'm not here or anywhere else, and you couldn't catch me if I was. Try the sand dabs. Try the sand dabs.
Okay. Here, look, watch. That's terrific.
As he chews some pasta, Nick looks about him.
No, I just think something's going on. Now look, Mac, don't stop being a detective just because there's no crime.
Well, what do you think? What do you think's going on here?
Well,
Nick,
maybe there's something you don't want me to know about.
And how are we treating you this evening, Mr. McCusick?
It's the blonde hostess.
Oh, fine, thank you.
Can I offer you anything more?
More?
There are two fish you haven't tried, and they're excellent.
Oh, well, sure.
What are they?
I thought I'd surprise you.
This is my friend, Nick Friese. He's
a pleasure, Joanne Balinari. Can I bring you a plate as well?
Thanks, I've got to be going.
Perhaps you'll try us another night then.
What I tried tonight was terrific.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Both men follow her with their eyes as Joanne moves across the room and has a quick word with a man. When Nick smirks at Mac, he pretends to be busy with his food, but then both of them look in her direction again. Nick turns back to Mac with a broad grin.
It's attractive.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
So, how about it?
How about what?
Whatever you're doing, do it somewhere else and don't make me look bad.
There is one last thing. It's no new business. It's an accounting problem.
An accounting problem?
Yeah, like Colombians, there's always some kind of discrepancy about money.
Sure. They don't know how to count.
Huh.
I got your word, Mac.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Jesus.
How about another bite of that fucking fish, man? It's great.
I give you two drinks.
That's two too many. If my brother sees Nino like this after
what's
the way
he gonna do, fire him?
No, he's not going to fire the chef, Arturo, but one bartender, more or less, is not the end of the world.
Giovanna.
And I don't want him driving that little car.
He can have my car.
Your Cadillac. You really want to kill him, don't you?
I don't drive, Giovanna. Go dance.
No. Yes. No. You're going home.
Why?
A squad car cruises through sunny suburbia.
Oh, happy birthday.
Hal enters Nick's office, and Nick switches off the surveillance tape he's been listening to.
Thank you.
Hold it.
Well, in the course of last night, something came up which persuaded me that Mac dining in that restaurant is a non-drug-related activity.
Yeah. Well, your friend is not going to get away with what he's gotten away with for 15 years and just retire.
What do you suggest?
I suggest you make sure we have a case. After all, what are friends for?
Later, a group of cops are listening to the tape.
Oh, I've been a little busy lately, and I took a break, you know.
Did you go away for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, but didn't matter. I went up to ask, but the skid's on.
The skid's on?
Yeah, I'm on skiing.
Oh. Are you good?
No. Well, passing.
Hal gestures to Nick to quietly close the door behind him.
Well, you should go sometime. It's fine.
Maybe I will.
Nick throws four hot coffee cups at Hal.
God damn it, Freeze! What the fuck is the matter with you?
I don't need you flying in from Washington. Taking over my office. Telling me to manufacture evidence. This is my backyard, Hal. I don't grow weeds in my backyard so I can pull them.
At a warehouse.
Mac. I swear to God I wasn't trying to use you. I'm just trying to pay some bills.
Well, now you got another one to pay.
Man, if I don't come through, these guys will kill me.
No, they won't kill you, Greg. They'll probably just break your legs. Oh, wow, here comes the money junkie.
Mac, I've been calling and calling. Oh, and I just broke a fucking nail.
I sent your lawyer the check, Shalene.
Well, tomorrow's the first of the month. You might as well write another one.
Shalene, I'm at a critical point in this business. It requires cash.
So do I. I'm sorry, Mac, but I'm not starving so you could tell your little boy you're a rubber hose salesman instead of a drug dealer. Honestly, Greg, one day Cody gets old enough to ask what his father does for a living, and he suddenly develops a conscience.
Greg, I will deal with that other stuff later. Leave my kid out of this.
Our kid?
Mac hops off the forklift he's been driving.
Anyway, I need another $10,000. Mercedes burned up.
At the SLC? Hey, it's under warranty. Take it back and make him fix it.
You know those assholes? They claim I didn't have any oil in the engine.
Now, Nick's flicking through some drug enforcement agency receipts in Mac's name when Hal walks into his office. The two men eyeball each other for a long, uncomfortable moment.
Nick, I made an improper suggestion.
I overreacted.
No, no.
No, it was uncalled for.
No, it was my fault.
Well, okay.
Look, I just want to lay my cards on the table. Whatever questions you have about our operation, go ahead. Ask me, shoot.
Okay. Who's your snitch?
I can't tell you that.
We got to start somewhere, Hal.
About July 17th, 1963. Nicholas Freesha and Dale McCusick were arrested for curfew violation on Hermosa Beach. 7 years later, you were with Mac when he was arrested for drugs on Rosarita Beach.
No, he was on the beach. I was in the water. Otherwise, I'd have been smoking a joint with him. Ended up in the same Mexican jail for 2 years. Hey, what can I say? Hal, you have really done your homework.
Nick, this is not about you being a cop. I know you're one of the best. You're close to Mac. Mac is close to Carlos, and he is coming to town.
Who says?
He is getting ready to move 1,200 kilos of coke. Personally. That's the word.
For 1,100 a week, a local snitch is liable to tell you anything you want to hear.
I'm also hearing it from the Federal Judicial Mexican Police, and believe me, I'm not paying them a dime. Now, like you say, this is your backyard. Has Carlos ever made a move in it without Mac's help?
No, if Carlos is back in town, Mac's back in business. So what do you want from me?
Use your relationship with Mac to get to Carlos.
How?
Any way you can.
If Mac is clean, it's going to do him a lot of damage.
Say he is working with Carlos, and we bust him. I will personally guarantee that Mac does not have to stand trial in federal court. You're liable to save him 15 years of his life.
He sits back in his chair.
I've cleared out of your office, Nick.
On a beach payphone.
Dos, 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 cuatro, dos, siete.
Hey.
Well, it's me, Mac.
Hey, my buddy. ¿Qué pasa?
No, you called me, buddy.
I'm coming to town.
Ah, hey, not now, man. They're watching at me everywhere I go.
Christ. You've been after me for 3 years to finish up my business with you.
I'm telling you, man, there's some renewed interest in me around here. Well, my cousin, he used my name as a guarantee of delivery.
Son of a bitch. This is the problem when you try to walk away from a long and distinguished career. Someone always tries to cash in on you before you go. Buddy, don't give him the steam off your shit.
Well, it's not my cousin I'm worried about. It's you. Don't come here now, man. Not now.
I have to come now, and you'll have to straighten it out. Can you still spot me 7 points, buddy?
Carlos,
I haven't played a lot of ping pong lately.
Now, Nick turns off a main road and parks in a driveway in front of a red convertible. He checks out the license plate as he passes by. In an office, Hal flicks through a visa, then looks at Joanne.
Your chef's visa has expired.
He does have a work permit. My brother's hired a lawyer who's working through immigration to get Nino his green card.
You mean Andy Leonard?
Yes.
Have you ever seen Andy Leonard in a restaurant with a Mr. Dale McCusick?
Yes. They're both very good customers.
What's that?
What's what?
A good customer.
Someone who is on time and doesn't make personal requests or demands for unusual dishes.
In other words, you're telling us that you've never had to satisfy any personal requests from Mr. McCusick.
No, Mr. McGuire. He usually orders right off the menu. Who are you and what's this all about?
Agent McGuire. Federal Drug Enforcement.
Has Andy Leonard been arrested on some sort of drug charge?
We arrested him.
What makes you think my restaurant is involved?
Well, for one thing, Leonard's in there all the time.
So is the district attorney. Does that mean he's selling drugs in my restaurant?
Mr. Leonard doesn't have dinner with the district attorney. He has dinner with Mr. McCusick.
Are you telling me Mr. McCusick is selling drugs in my restaurant?
Maybe.
Nick's just joined them.
Well, all I do is see him eat.
Miss Falinari, we know how important your chef is to you. And we have our problems. We certainly don't have to help immigration with theirs.
In other words, Mr. McGuire, if I'll spy on my customers, you'll make sure my chef isn't deported for drunk driving?
I didn't say that, Miss Valenari.
Don't bother to explain. At 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be seating my lawyer and his ex-partner, who is a federal judge downtown. I'm sure they'll understand what you meant and explain it to me.
Okay, Hal. Hello, Miss Valenari. I'm Lieutenant Freesha from the Sheriff's Department.
We've met with Mr. McCusick.
Absolutely. And when you sue him, I don't want to be anywhere in sight. Come on, get me out of here.
Nick leads her outside. Now the chef's with them.
Giovanna, non potevo farci niente. La macchina andava da sola.
It doesn't matter. We'll have Arturo come back.
Take care of it.
Is everything okay?
Ah, it's nothing really. Somebody dropped last night's evidence on the floor, including Nino's urine specimen.
What's that mean?
Well, it means we'll have to drop the case.
No court?
No court.
No court?
Hey, take it easy, for Christ's sake. I work here. What's on your mind?
The way I met you with Mr. McCusick, you seemed like friends.
Yeah,
well. I'm sorry. It's really none of my business. And you've been terrific.
No, don't worry about it. Just buy me dinner one of these days.
And I got down there you want, Nick.
Thank you so much.
She joins Nino in her red convertible and drives off. Hal comes over to Nick.
We got the word, and your friend McCusick, he's got a deal cooked.
Yeah?
We're gonna nail him.
Well, if anybody can do it, Hal, you can.
Why'd you let her chef go?
She's tough, isn't she? Well, she beat the shit out of you, Hal.
Hell, she did.
Hell, she didn't. Ask anybody in the room.
Freesha, what you got going on here?
Now it's nighttime. A sports car turns off a street and parks in a garage. Matt gets out, then closes the garage door after him. He pauses to empty his mailbox, then heads towards a house. On a table outside is a pizza box and signs that people have been eating and drinking al fresco. Inside, he finds Greg lounging about with two scantily clad women watching TV.
Matt, hi.
Hey, man, where you been? I've been looking everywhere for you.
In Chula Vista, trying to sell farm equipment. So, what are the Sin Sisters doing here?
Oh, they're just cranking on the coke. Matt, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding, Matt. They're just leaving. What can I do for you? I'll do anything. Name it.
You can start by cleaning off that table there and get some new paddles and balls.
Some there for some ping pong?
And I want you to drop something off at Ballinari's for me. Here.
Who for?
Joanne Ballinari.
Aren't you going there tonight?
Yeah, but I want to clean up first, you know. And besides, it'll give her a chance to look that over before we talk. And Greg, could you give it a rest?
Oh, whatever, man. I hear you.
At the restaurant, a bartender beckons Joanne over.
What is it?
The cup. He's waiting for you.
How nice.
It's not nice. He's a cop who thinks he did you a favor, and cops are the worst butterflies in the world. It's not worth it, Giovanna, I'm telling you.
You just don't like his looks, Arturo.
Later, Joanne and Nick are having dinner.
It's quite an experience watching you work.
Oh?
Kind of like you're in a play and everything's on cue. You are kind of letter perfect.
Thank you.
Tell me, do you ever flub your lines?
Is that a polite way of suggesting I lack spontaneity?
Have you seen Mac lately? Mr. McKusick.
Oh.
He's going to ask you to cater a party.
That is our business.
Oh, you think it involves his business?
What are you suggesting? That I refuse because it's a party for drug dealers?
No. It's just if it's for this one particular guy, he's particularly unpleasant.
You mean violent?
Oh, no, I doubt that. Unless, of course, he doesn't like your lasagna.
Well, I'm sure Mr. McKusick's friend will be very well behaved.
Why would you call him a friend?
Just a figure of speech, Lieutenant. Who else would you give a party for?
Business associate. As it happens, Carlos and Mac are friends.
And you and Mac are friends.
That's right.
Well, sounds like a pretty friendly situation all around.
Oh, no, not exactly. Nobody knows Carlos. Nobody even knows what Carlos looks like but Mac.
And you want to know what Carlos looks like, and you're asking me to spy on a customer so you can find out?
Absolutely not. Look, let's not discuss my business or his business or your business, okay?
But that leaves us with nothing to talk about.
Let's eat.
Now, as rain lashes down, a car pulls up in a back alley with Greg at the wheel.
Good evening.
Now he's on a payphone.
She's having dinner with him.
She can't be.
The chef is with them right now, checking out their Caesar salads.
Fresh out of the shower, Max slumps.
What do you want me to do with the envelope? You want me to drop it off anyway?
Yeah, I'm beat. I'll never make it in there. Thanks.
He wipes his face with a towel, then leans back on the bed, where he set out his outfit for the night.
You meet at Orville and Wilbur's maybe once every Christmas, right? He throws his Chevrolet keys on the bar, you throw your Porsche keys on the bar. You pick up your drink, you got a gold Rolex on your wrist, he's wearing a Timex. Even if he wasn't a cop, you'd have to hate your guts.
Kilos of cocaine with an estimated street value of $27 million.
Street value, $27 million. What street is that?
Show me how to get there just once. Hey, man, are you listening to me? Nick Freesia came into that restaurant looking for a way to bust your buns.
Well, he's gonna have to drag me out of bed to do it. I'm under the weather, heavily.
Hey, Mac.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is for your own good, man. That swordfish was great.
Mm. Excellent piece.
And the cristal.
You know it.
Yeah, we serve it at the Lomita Station.
What do cops drink?
Hell, it depends. Generally, I recommend my men to stay away from vodka and stick to scotch and bourbon.
Why is that?
So the brass will know they're drunk and not stupid.
You have an answer for everything.
So do you. Every question McGuire asked the other day, you answered like you're reading off a menu. Your keys, Giovanna.
Thank you, Arturo.
And yours.
Arturo glares at Nick.
Do you want me to lock up?
No, I'll lock up. Just make sure the kitchen is closed.
Arturo lingers.
Good night, Arturo.
He eventually leaves them alone.
You were saying?
You're still suspicious of me and Mr. McCusick?
Yeah.
You actually think we're in business together?
No.
Oh. I don't date the customers, Nick. Especially when they drive $50,000 cars and always pay in cash.
And you'd heard about Mac.
Well, sooner or later, you hear everything in a restaurant.
And he's never asked you out?
No. You're still suspicious.
If I was, what difference would it make? You'd talk me out of it.
That's not it.
No?
No. You're just suspicious of any woman who hasn't slept with you.
Joanne? That is a wildly off-the-wall assumption.
What is it, Nick? You need some chapstick or some lip gloss or something? Because your lips keep getting stuck on your teeth. Or is that your idea of a smile?
That's my idea of a smile. Oh, man, you are. You're tough.
You're a bad boy, Nick. You're a very bad boy. What's this mean?
An engraved lighter.
Redondo Union High.
You smoked in high school?
Oh, yeah, we were a bunch of rowdies, Joanne.
How about an espresso?
What?
I've got to lock up and I'll never do it like this.
She brushes his hand off her shoulder by leaving the table. On the counter, she finds Nick's envelope, but is distracted by the fact there's water dripping on it.
Oh, no.
She takes the envelope, then goes to the wine cellar to sort out the leak.
Joanne, what are you doing?
I want this under there.
Here, come in.
No, you'll get dirty.
Oh, don't be silly.
Oh, the skylight's indented for some reason, so the rain fills it up into a puddle until it becomes a pond, and then...
And then what?
And then you're all wet. Oh, Nick, I'm sorry. I really shouldn't.
As she's brushing the water off his suit, he silences her with a long and sexy kiss. She responds enthusiastically, her hands caressing his neck and shoulders. Now a photo of Nick and Mac as young surfers.
I don't know what it is about going to high school with someone that makes you feel you're automatically friends for life. Who says friendship lasts forever? We all like it to, maybe. But maybe it just wears out like everything else. Like tires. There's just so much mileage in them, and then you're riding around on nothing but air.
Mac's cat wants to come in.
Okay, keep your shirt on.
Hal stops by a guy painting Nick's name on the narcotic bureau door. To Nick.
Any word on where McCusick's giving the party?
How would I know? I'm waiting to hear it from your snitch, whoever that is. I don't know, I keep coming back to this. What do you think, Harry? Freesha. Hi. Excuse me, Hal. This is a personal call.
Hal wanders away.
About a movie?
I can't tonight. We're booked solid.
This afternoon.
Don't you ever work?
Yeah, I'm working now.
Don't say that or I'll believe you. I always believe the worst.
I'm gonna die if I don't see you.
Well, we can't have that. How about checking out the competition with me this week, and that way we can both keep working.
Sitting in a suit at the restaurant bar, Mac checks his watch, then notices that there's no one by the reservations book. To Arturo.
Where's Joanne?
She should have taken a few days off.
Mr. McCusick, the table is ready. I'll have the drinks sent over. Thank you.
Now it's a sunny day. and Nick carries a tray of fast food over to a table with an umbrella, where Joanne's sitting, going through some mail. Finding Mac's envelope, she opens it and reads his handwritten letter, whilst Nick takes their food and drinks off the tray. Later, Nick returns to his office carrying a coffee machine.
Where the fuck have you been?
Working my ass off, Al. Mac's party is a week from tomorrow at his house, 1 p.m. for 56 guests. You like cappuccino?
Now, Mac and Greg step outside the house.
So now I got two coming out. Down front, two males.
I got them. Open it. She's not about to talk to anybody as long as the checks keep coming.
Mac's little boy Cody's surprised to find the yard filled with kids with balloons. All the noise interferes with the police surveillance. Joanne watches the kids with a smile. Later, Mac ruffles Cody's hair and slips Shalene an envelope on his way past. Jo notices as she stands at the window helping with the catering. A candle is added to Cody's surfing-themed birthday cake.
Today, what's with the hot dog? Anybody like hot dogs? Hot dog is not a burger.
Joanne watches Mac on barbecue duties. Then Shalene notices Joanne talking to Cody. Later, Joanne's carrying a tray of drinks when she sees Mac and Cody sitting companionably on the roof, watching a balloon that's flown away. Now Mac's helping a magician entertain the kids. A dog comes bounding along the beach, passing an animal control officer who's leaning on his truck, watching the house.
What's so funny? That dog catcher.
He's not catching the dog.
Yeah, that's right. Wrong size handcuffs.
The magician finishes his trick by cracking an egg into a glass. Joanne's on the phone.
Well, I'm leaving right now. Bye.
Thank you. Nice food.
Thank you. Nice party.
He leads the way downstairs.
You're a real magician. I was surprised.
Well, it was a surprise party.
Did it surprise your boy?
Oh, yes. Not as much as it surprised the 25 cops on the beach, but it did, yeah. You gonna tell me that's a surprise?
No. Mr. Freesia said there was a possibility the police would be watching you.
Did he say why?
Yes. Do you want me to be specific?
I'd appreciate that.
He said you were a serious drug dealer and that you promised to quit, but that you lied and were still doing it.
He called me a drug dealer and a liar. What a bummer. I guess I can't blame you.
Blame me for what?
Telling Nick about the party. Thanks again.
He starts walking away.
I didn't tell Nick about the party. He told me.
He turns and comes back.
What was I supposed to do? I didn't know it was for your child's birthday. You didn't order the cake from us. I didn't even know you had a child. I thought it was for someone called Carlos.
He looks at her closely.
Dad, just pretend like none of this ever happened.
Now at the police station.
Yeah, thanks. We got the Harbor Patrol involved.
They do surveillance in the marina.
There's boats in the marina, Hal. See, this is a house. The house is not gonna float away. It's not gonna fucking move. Freesia. Yeah, put him through. Hey, how you doing? In my office, how about you?
In my office? I was wondering, Nick, if we could get together somewhere.
Hell yes, any particular time?
how about right now?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Look, when you say the man is giving a party in a week or two...
Hang on.
And Carlos is coming to town in a week or two, what the fuck...
Who's your snitch, Hal? Huh? He hasn't gotten a goddamn thing right. You look for Mac in L.A., he's in San Francisco. You go for Carlos, you get Mac's kid.
Sin sisters.
Listen, I'm not authorizing any more county funds. Hey, unless you get a hold of someone who can actually identify Carlos.
What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know any... Is he right there?
Just about. Everything all right?
Mac walks past, ignoring Greg, who's just come off the phone to Hal. Later, Mac to Nick.
How come you tried to get me kicked out of my favorite restaurant? You told Joanne about me, didn't you?
They're sitting on swings.
Yeah, I did.
You got a reason?
I didn't want her getting into something that might hurt her.
Is that why you told her about Carlos? So that she could identify him if she saw him? Is that your way of making sure that she doesn't get hurt?
Okay, I fucked up. Look, Mac, I've been seeing a lot of Joanne, and obviously it affected my judgment here.
The pair are silhouetted against a burnt orange sunset.
Nick, if you want to go after Carlos, go after him. Just don't use me to do it, okay?
I don't get it, Mac. I mean, what? Guy saves your life in a Mexican prison so you owe him for the next 20 years, is that it? Huh? None of my business.
Exactly.
Mac gets up.
Oh, by the way, you told Joanne about the party, didn't you?
No, Mac. You got it backwards. She told me.
Oh, well, then I guess she got it backwards, huh?
Well, that's understandable. You're confronting her like that, she probably got flustered. After all, she's not used to that sort of thing. She's a very traditional girl. Hey, by the way, wish Cody a happy birthday for me, will you?
Sure.
Giovanna.
Arturo's waving an envelope at Joanne, so she heads over to him.
Yes?
What do you want me to do with Mr. Mikuski's tip?
Mikuski, what you normally do, divide it up among the waiters and everyone who worked the party.
It was a pretty good tip.
What are you talking about?
Well, his bill is $2,500.
Yes?
And his tip is $2,500.
There's $5,000 in there?
Sweet. Must have been a pretty good party.
Arturo, give me that envelope.
He holds it out, but waits a second before finally letting go. Now, Joanne's cruising along a road running parallel to the beach with the top of her red convertible down. Next, she passes by an industrial plant with two red and white striped chimney stacks. Her blonde hair's neatly tied back, and she's wearing shades. See my windows wipe and clean. She turns onto a road leading down to the beach. Now, getting no answer at Mac's house, she goes and leans on his balcony overlooking the beach. Greg appears on the floor above.
You're looking for Mac. He's down at the competition.
Thanks.
Cody rides a wave on his surfboard, then crashes into the water. Max watching him from the beach.
Cody! Get away from the pier!
Holy smoke, it's you.
Yes, it is. Look, Mr. Mikuski, I don't want your money. I don't want any of it.
How come?
What did you think you were paying for?
Well, I don't get it. I mean, if it's not enough...
No, it's not enough. What, did you think you could buy me?
Buy you what?
There's $5,000 in there.
Lower your voice, okay? I don't want anybody to think that there's something going down here. $5,000.
That's right.
I must have grabbed the hundreds. You owe me.
What? This was a mistake?
Wrong envelope. Chalene must have the 50s. She'll be pissed. What did you think I was trying to buy for $5,000?
Joanne doesn't know where to look. Mac becomes distracted by Cody, who's riding a wave dangerously close to the pier struts. When he disappears, Mac sprints over. Later, Mac carries Cody home.
Hey, man, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. He's hurt. Could you get everybody out of here?
I'll get the gate.
Now, in Cody's bedroom.
What do you see? What do you see?
The clinics.
Yeah, blow your nose on that. Still hurt?
I feel like shit. Mom's gonna blame this on you.
Cody, watch your language.
How about if I send over some angel hair pasta? Would you like that? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be well, Cody.
They leave Cody lying in bed wearing a neck brace.
I don't know what I'd have done if you hadn't come along. Greg had my car and... God, I'm sorry about that. I mean, I don't usually do things like that. I mean, how can somebody make you sign 50,000 forms when your kid's neck might be broken?
Why don't you sit down?
Yeah, okay. I'll just have some Herradura.
With shaky hands, he pours himself a drink.
Your boy lives with you?
That depends.
On what?
Money and his mama's mood.
Don't you think you've had enough of that? I mean, you want to hear Cody if he wakes up and needs something, don't you?
Mac downs another shot.
You're not going to answer me, are you?
I don't really think you want me to.
Yes, I do.
Okie dokie. Hey, I'll answer any question you care to ask. How about that?
Okay.
She joins him at the table.
But I know the first one.
Oh, what's that?
How can you feel about your boy the way you do and sell drugs?
Cocaine. It is cocaine, isn't it?
Well, it was.
But not anymore?
No.
You were out with Annie Leonard the night he was arrested.
Nick tell you that?
What, you were not with him?
Yeah, I was out with him, yeah.
And you weren't selling cocaine?
No, I wasn't. He was.
Then what were you doing?
I was trying to teach him how to sell it.
You're serious?
Well, that's what it came down to. That fella, Andy Leonard, he's smart enough to be a lawyer, but he's way too dumb to be a crook.
You had to be getting something.
Oh, yeah. He's my lawyer.
Yes.
He's your lawyer, too.
Okay. So he's your lawyer and he's my lawyer. What does that do for you?
Look, I pretty much knew that you knew what I'd done for a living, and I wanted him to let you know that I now had a legitimate business. Naturally, I didn't want him busted in the meantime.
So he thought that Andy Leonard would give you respectability?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what do you need it for?
You.
She stares at him.
So if I asked you out, maybe you'd accept.
You don't need a lawyer for that. Dating is not a criminal activity, Mr. McCusick. I think your profession has clouded your judgment here. I'm flattered, and I believe you. It was awful dumb.
She looks about to say something when he fixes her with a steady and intense gaze.
I'm late as hell.
She leaves. He toys with his shot glass, then turns to look through the slats of the window blind. At the restaurant, Joanne joins Arturo at the end of the bar. She's now dressed for dinner.
Petro, pour me a glass of champagne. You're never going to believe what just happened.
If it's bad news, Giovanna, I generally believe it.
I went to return Mr. McCusick's money.
You gave back my tip. I don't believe it. Good evening, Lieutenant.
Nick standing behind her.
You're early.
You're late.
Disappointed?
Yeah, we'll catch you.
You don't want to know. We're over here.
No, we're not.
Where do you suggest?
The wine cellar. Where else?
Come on. Annette, come on. Stop kidding around. I mean it. I have customers all over the place. I'll scream.
That'll be quite unnecessary, senorita.
Joanne Valenari, may I present Comandante Javier Escalante Potrero y Vega of the Mexican Federales.
A pleasure. Lieutenant Frescher seems to have alarmed you.
Well, I surprised Miss Valenari with a private party in the wine cellar because I phoned ahead and made our reservations. She arrived late and didn't realize we were here.
You go to a good deal of trouble to explain an inconsequential event, Lieutenant.
Hal, you remember Joanne Valenari.
Yes, of course. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Later, outside the cellar.
You're going to tell me about your day.
Oh, great. Mr. McCusick.
You're with Mac? How come?
This is a professional question. I don't want to answer.
Purely personal.
Giovanna, please. The judge is waiting for you.
I'll be right back.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Judge Nizatich. I hope we didn't keep you waiting
too
long.
Not at all.
Nick's watching her closely.
Here. There's a green card for Nino. I had to pull some strings.
Wearing an elegant, backless black dress, Joanne moves away from the judge's table and goes to talk to Andy Leonard at the next table along. As Nick's eyes bore into them, they both turn and look over in his direction.
Come on, Nick. Escalante's waiting. He wants to give you a token of his government's friendship.
What?
A gun. He's Mexican, what can I tell you? You wanted someone to ID Carlos. I've got him for you. I have worked with Escalante for 8 years. He does not get involved with an operation unless he can bring it off. Don't mess with him. You mess with her anytime.
Andy to Joanne.
You think it was an accident Nino was arrested for drunk driving? Frescia had the police waiting for him every night.
But why?
He figured you knew more about Mac than you did, and he was going to use Nino to find out what you knew.
How did the judge get involved?
He was the federal judge Frescia went to for the deportation order. I pointed out to the judge he was about to deport his fettuccine verde, his osso buco, and his rigatoni quattro formaggi.
Our informants assure us that Carlos will contact McCusick before he goes anywhere else to conclude his business.
Take a look. Why would he risk going to McCusick's house?
Thank you,
Ray. Well, he hardly expects me to be there to identify him, Mr. McGuire. After all, beaches are a crowded, friendly place, aren't they? People don't wear much in the way of clothing, and guns and surveillance equipment are that much more difficult to hide. Mr. McCusick thinks about such things. Which brings me to the point. A group of Mexicans patrolling the strand will look conspicuous. I would suggest your people patrol the beach and keep a wide perimeter with some sort of frozen surveillance for us.
Where do you want to be?
There's a lot on the highlands above his home, but I'm told Mr. McCusick has a boat stored on this lot. That could prove awkward.
That can be handled.
How?
With a phone call.
Now, Nick's on the restaurant phone.
Don't you have to get back to your party?
In a minute.
He hangs up and joins Joanne by the bar.
Excuse me. Is there something wrong?
You were asking me about Mr. McCusick. What did you want to know?
I was asking about you, Joanne. I wanted to know why you saw him.
I thought he owed me an explanation.
Did you get it?
Oh, yeah. Would you like to hear it?
I'm not sure.
Mr. McCusick, it seems, has been engaged in his business for purely romantic reasons, while you, it seems, have been engaged in romance for purely business reasons.
I'm not sure I understand that.
A little vague for you?
A little.
Then let me spell it out. You want to fuck your friend. Fuck him, not me.
With an uncomfortable snigger, he watches her storm off. now at Max.
How you doing? I gotta go to work, okay? See ya.
Well, is everything okay?
Yeah. I'm gonna be irrigating half the county before this is all over.
So who's gonna sit me?
Anne Marie. She's downstairs. You like her. She's very good.
You ever date her?
Well, no, I don't date the sitters.
Why couldn't Joanne babysit me?
Who?
Joanne Valinari.
How do you know her name?
Well, she promised to make me angel-haired spaghetti.
Well, I wouldn't count on that now, Cody. She's a very busy girl.
Well, doesn't she like you, Dad?
Well, gee, we never really got around to that.
Well, how come she doesn't like you, Dad?
I didn't say she didn't like me. I mean, I don't know what she likes and what she doesn't like. I don't know if she likes a goddamn thing. You know, there's some people in life who don't like very much of anything, and they just have nice manners and live, you know? Cody, take your shoes off the bed.
Now, Greg approaches Mac as he's unfurling some rope.
What are you doing?
I got a ticket, noise abatement ordinance. Not allowed to do any work on machinery in the neighborhood.
I haven't worked on this thing in a month.
Anyway, I better move it or they will.
I ran into Rudy Samudio's customers. They're desperate for product.
Not as desperate as Rudy. He's doing 100 years.
They'll go up to $500,000 in advance.
Greg, I couldn't help you if I wanted to, and I don't want to.
Okay. But you gotta know where something is, even if it's bad shit. I mean, Mac, $500,000.
Mac pulls the cover off the boat.
Greg, I thought we agreed that, you know, you weren't gonna hit me with this kind of stuff anymore. Why do you keep talking?
I just had a feeling that you were gonna change your mind.
Yeah. Look, Greg, enough of this shit, huh? I gotta stick this thing in the water and see if it floats.
Mac steps down from the boat. At the restaurant. Joanne comes in and takes a seat at the bar, where she holds her head in her hands.
What can I do for you, Giovanna?
I'm okay.
You know, you don't have to be here today yet.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Thanks.
Why don't you go home and rest and come back tonight?
No, I'm fine.
Nick has come in and is standing in the doorway. Seeing him, Joanne turns away, then reassures Vittorio and Arturo.
It's okay.
They step away, leaving Nick and Joanne alone together. He looks at her somberly.
I didn't know you. I didn't know your relationship with Mac. I only knew he was hiding something. Turned out to be his feelings. But you're so smooth, I figured you were hiding something too.
How could you tell? You lie to me about Mac, you lie to Mac about me, you lie to the judge about everybody. Sooner or later, you have to lose sight of the facts, don't you?
No. No, you don't lose sight of the facts, not unless you're nuts. You lose sight of your feelings. Mac knows how he feels. He's crazy about you and he doesn't want to get caught. For a crook, it's crystal clear. On the other hand, for a cop, it's confusing. Mac's my friend and I like him. McGuire's my associate and I hate him. I probably have to bust my friend if I'm going to do my job. And I hate that, but I hate drug dealers and somebody's got to get rid of Carlos. How do I do that? With my powers of deduction, I walk into your restaurant, take one look at you, and realize no matter how good the food is, Mac's not here to eat. He's in love. Then I have to wonder if you're not as good about concealing your feelings as you are at taking care of your customers. I know you're not in the drug business, but maybe you've got guilty knowledge that can help me do my job. So I checked you out. You've had, as near as I can tell, 3 affairs in the last 7 years. One with a lifeguard who was more a high school buddy than anything else, the other a painter from Venice who did some frescoes for your restaurant in The Third of Married Man, where you broke off the relationship almost immediately. See, you're not exactly wild and crazy in this area, so I figured if you're willing to get involved with me, you're probably not involved with Mac. But given his interest in you, you're as likely to find out what's going on in his life as anybody. And what I didn't figure is that you're not like me. You're honest and kind and principled. And I trust you.
A tear rolls down her cheek.
Suddenly I'm ashamed. You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I'm nuts about you. Now I've only got one question, and it's not about Mac, and I want to know what you know about Mac. Man, I just want to see you tonight. Will you? See me.
He's staring at her, and after taking a deep breath, she turns her tear-soaked face towards him.
So, what else you know about me, Nick?
The tension between them lifts a little.
Oh, God. Didn't somebody turn the machine on? No, somebody didn't, because I'm supposed to do it.
Wiping her tears away, she picks up the phone.
Bellinari's, good morning. I do too know who this is. How did you get my number? I'm really surprised you'd be left alone all morning without any supervision. I don't believe you.
Nick has crept up behind her to get a book of matches, but when she looks over, she notices there is already a book near to where he had been sitting.
Okay, well, I'll see what I can do.
She looks over again, and the book of matches has disappeared.
I'll be over as soon as I can. Okay? Okay. Bye.
She puts the telephone handset down, then brushes the hair from her eyes. She smiles nervously at Nick as he walks over to her.
So, do you think there's a chance?
Of what?
Of seeing you tonight.
Let's play it by ear. Call me later.
Okay.
He walks past her and heads out of the bar.
We're continuing with the full spectrum rock and roll on KMPC-FM, beautiful Southern California.
Meanwhile, Mac is speeding along a coastal road in his truck, pulling his red speedboat behind him. Now, the zoom lens of a camera is poking through curtains at the window of a large camper van. It's trained on Joanne as she walks to her car from Mac's house.
Female Caucasian, late 20s, fair hair, medium height.
No makeup, no visible jewelry.
What's she doing?
Está sacando ropa del carro.
Right now she's taking some clothes out of the car. Obviously she's going back to the house.
Earlier she was cooking spaghetti.
Fancy dish cooking spaghetti.
Hal to Nick.
How about that call, Hal?
It's okay. Our guy is set. He's dropping off the $500,000 at McCusick's. Carlos is going to pick it up there tonight.
What about McCusick?
Yeah, could you hold on a second?
Where are you going?
Carlos is due at McCusick's.
Not till 12:30.
Joanne Vallinari is not an informant, Hal. I don't want her mistaken for one.
Forget it. She let herself in, she can let herself out. I just left $500,000 with somebody at the Wayfarer's Chapel. It was not for religious purposes. I'm telling you, Nick, if you call her, you go anywhere near Max, I'll have you shot. You hear me?
Nick comes back.
You mean arrested, don't you, Hal?
I'm sorry, Javier. What were you saying?
What about McCusick? Where is he going to be?
Well, we're not sure. He hasn't been very cooperative. But it's no problem. Our guys have made contact with Carlos directly.
Now the sun has set. A car pulls into the garage at Mac's house. His cat is sitting on a dustbin. Mac spots the car, then reaches down to pick something up from the floor near the bin. It's an empty spaghetti box, which he teases the cat with, then heads inside. In the kitchen, he finds a glass bowl of leftover spaghetti, a half-finished glass of wine, and Joanne's coat on the back of a chair. He heads out of the room while upstairs, Joanne is brushing her hair with her head bent forward. When she stands upright, she finds Mac is watching her.
How long have you been here?
How long have you been here?
Ready for you to discuss this somewhere else? After I got through dealing with the fact that you left him alone, Cody admitted to me he dismissed the babysitter to get me over here. I didn't know when you were coming back, so I finally called his mother to pick him up.
Well, how did he know where to reach you?
He called the restaurant.
Called the restaurant?
Yes, he called the restaurant. Would you care for a glass of wine? It's not a bad Chardonnay.
Where did he get the number?
She picks up a magazine and slaps him with it.
Your bedstand.
An article about Joanne.
Late for work.
When was the last time you saw Nick Frisian?
This morning.
Oh, I didn't realize you were open for breakfast. When are you going to see him again?
I can't answer that.
That's right. You don't talk about your customers, do you?
Especially not after I've slept with them. If you want to know anything more about Nick, you'll have to talk to him.
And he'll tell me to talk to you. Thanks for the bullshit, Slick.
Having reached the door, she turns and walks back into the kitchen wearing an exasperated smile.
Did you call me Slick?
I'll say.
Okay. Ask me anything.
Ask you anything?
Anything. Whatever you want to know about me.
Okay.
Anything at all, Mr. McCusick.
Hey, listen, would you mind not calling me Mr. McCusick?
I'll call you anything you want, but contrary to what everyone seems to think about me, I'm not real good at undercover work. I don't know your first name.
It's Dale. Well, don't call me that either.
Then don't call me Slick.
Now, Nick is sitting in the dark of his office looking at surveillance slides of Mac meeting Greg. He smokes a cigarette while he studies the pictures. Meanwhile, Mac's in his garden blowing through a black rubber tube while Joanne looks on.
It's called leaky pipe irrigation. Trade name's Hydropore. It's made from old vulcanized tires. You stick it about 14 inches under the soil and it kind of just sweats out the water.
Huh.
I got an order last week for 50,000 feet from a lemon grower in Encinitas.
I didn't think there were any citrus groves left in California.
You said she was leaving.
She was.
Well, what's the delay?
They're watering the lawn.
They're watering the lawn.
So what do you think?
I think you're a legitimate businessman.
Yeah, well, I hope so. If this doesn't work, I'm a crook forever.
Why haven't you gotten out of that other before?
Well, that's a lot tougher to quit than you think.
Just say no.
And nobody wants me to quit. You know, don't quit, don't get caught, stay on top long enough for us to knock you off. I mean, that's the motto all around here. Nobody wants me to quit. The cops want to bust me. Colombians want my connections. My wife, she wants my money.
A lawyer agrees, and mine likes getting paid to argue with him.
Nobody wants me to quit. I haven't even mentioned my customers here. You know they don't want me to quit.
That is completely paranoid.
Hey, I'm just talking here, you know. I'm not trying to convince you of a goddamn thing. It may be paranoid, but then again, nobody wants me to quit.
No, I'm sorry. I was just joking. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Oh, come on, it didn't hurt that bad. Just looking at you hurts more.
He gazes at her for a moment, then slowly leans in towards her, and their lips meet. He stands, then places his arm around her shoulders as she pulls him down so that they are lying next to the wooden hot tub. As they kiss, the sounds of their embrace are picked up by the surveillance team. Escalante rubs his eyes in frustration as he stands outside the surveillance van, smoking a cigarette. Later, the sea breeze troubles the awning attached to Mac's trailer. The cat walks along the fence, then jumps down out of sight. On the decking next to the tub, Mac and Joanne's clothing is strewn haphazardly. Steam rises from the tub and music plays from a radio on a window ledge nearby. Mac and Joanne burst from the tub. Water drips from their naked bodies as they cling to each other, while nearby, Escalante's men are still watching. One loosens his tie. In the reflection of the steaming water, Joanne moves to where Mac is lying down on the decking and straddles him. She pulls him up to her, and with her legs wrapped around his back, they embrace. In the rising steam, Mac gently kisses her neck while she holds the back of his head. They kiss hungrily, gently biting each other's lips.
I thought you said she was leaving.
Well, sir, it was a miscommunication. I'm sorry.
Well, how much longer do you think she'll be?
While Escalante's men argue in the van, Mac stands with Joanne wrapped around him. Water splashes onto their clothes, and he pulls the awning down over them like a blanket. Meanwhile, Nick is looking at slides of Joanne and Mac together in the restaurant. He sits up to study their faces as they smile warmly at each other. He looks carefully at a slide of Joanne talking to Mac while he sits at a restaurant table with Greg.
I can't leave just yet. My clothes are still on the dry.
Okay.
Now, in the small bed in the trailer, Mac rolls over to lie on top of Joanne. As they kiss, she gently strokes his back and her clothes spin in the dryer. Hal paces the incident room, loosening his tie. Then he punches the notice board holding information about the case.
Jesus God, get out of there!
Nick is looking at slides of Hal delivering something to Greg. He smiles to himself. Meanwhile, Joanne is eating ice cream, and she spoons some into Mac's mouth.
Look, I believe you that you're out of that other business. And what's that?
Nothing. It's just my service. I better call.
Right now?
Yeah. I'll be right back.
He steps out of the trailer with a towel wrapped around his waist, then heads towards the house. Inside, he picks up the phone from the hallway floor. He dials a number, but is grabbed from behind by someone who holds a gun to his face. It's Escalante.
What the fuck are you doing? Are you nuts? They're covering me like a blanket out there. Didn't they tell you to call first?
Oh, Jesus.
Not only that, you scared the shit out of me. Get away, man. This is not funny. I'm wearing a fucking towel.
You know who's in charge of all that surveillance out there? The United States government and the Federal Republic of Mexico have me watching you, waiting for me to show up. Which reminds me, I'm talking to the wrong one of these, buddy. Ugh. And it costs us 50 years apiece.
Jefe.
Yeah.
¿Está todo bien?
Sí, dígale a McGuire que Carlos está con McCusick y que todo va de acuerdo con lo previsto. Roger and out.
I told you, buddy. I told you on the phone I take care of everything.
I have been instructed to tell you that Carlos has entered McCusick's house.
Thank you. But you, Mac, I trust with my life. You keep me waiting all goddamn night without showing the slightest sign of being worried about me.
Hey, I'm sorry,
Forget it, you had your hands full, I could see that. What's more, you fucked like a world champion. 4 fucking hours. Those cops out there are terrified. Their wives are gonna hear about this. I got starved just watching. She can cook too, this girl. Believe me, if she's willing to take out the garbage, marry her, trust me, buddy.
In the trailer, Joanne is breathing in Mac's smell from the sweatshirt she's wearing when she hears a tapping noise. She steps outside to investigate. Upstairs in the house, Mac and Carlos are playing ping pong.
Man, do you think this is the best idea right now?
Come on, buddy. When's the next time we'll get a chance to play?
In jail.
What's going on with you and Lindroff? I don't want my cousin involved in anything.
I realize it must have...
Jefe, por favor.
Yeah.
La muchacha va a entrar a la casa.
I'll take care of it.
As he heads out, Carlos has a sinister look on his face. As Mac replaces the telephone handset, it rings.
Hello? Who?
Company.
Company? It's for you.
Mac walks away as Carlos appears at the top of the stairs, singing while clutching his ping pong paddle. Mac signals for him to be quiet.
You gotta be out of here in less than 20 minutes, for Christ's sakes. We're never gonna finish the game!
Mac goes back to Joanne.
Vittorio's wife called. He had to go home. I've gotta go close up.
Mac smiles at her, and she moves past him. Now she pulls into the parking space at the restaurant, only to find Nick waiting for her, with the boot of his car open.
What are you doing here?
There's nothing wrong with Vittorio's wife. I had Arturo call you.
Joanne, listen to me. Mac is gonna get busted tonight. There's an informant making sure of that. Because of what's been going on, your behavior could be misconstrued.
Misconstrued?
You are in the wrong place at the wrong time! And that could get you hurt. Give me your purse.
He chooses her a pistol from his boot.
I want you to, go inside and lock the door. Detective Torres will be here in a few minutes. He'll take care of you until this is all over. There. That's ready to fire.
All you really care about is arresting Mac.
Get inside.
She watches as he drives away. Now, at an eerily quiet, misty harbor, Mac and a man slowly pull up alongside a large white yacht in Mac's speedboat. A number of men come down onto the jetty to greet them.
Hey, don't smoke. I got some kind of leak in the fuel line.
Apaga el cigarro. Tiene problemas con la gasolina.
Well, everything's set.
Not quite. Carlos is still at your house.
Now Joanne arrives back at Mac's house to find the door wide open and the lights on. She hesitates for a moment, then looks around her before heading in. Inside, Carlos bounces the ping-pong ball on the paddle, while Greg puts wads of money into a briefcase. Then, Carlos notices something in the doorway.
¿Pero están locos? ¿Cómo la traen aquí?
Ella andaba por aquí, traía esto.
Wait a minute, now I recognize you. From the restaurant, with Lieutenant Fresion.
Joanne Balinori, where is Mr. McCusick? Could you tell
me? I recognize this, too.
You gotta watch out for her.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. She's friendly with a cop that knows Mac. Where is Mac, by the way?
You think she could be dangerous? Be some sort of informant?
Carlos has shushed Joanne.
I do. Mac's nuts about her. He wouldn't see it.
That's terrible. Have you mentioned this to him?
Oh, yeah. I do what I can for Mac. Well, it's all here.
Yes, it is. Speaking of information, you were busted by the Drug Enforcement Agency 4 months ago. You didn't happen to mention that to Mac, did you? No, I didn't think so. What a shame. When you're in trouble, people need to talk to somebody, and if it's not their friends, it's usually your enemies. Federal Narcotics number 7244.
Greg looks scared.
McGuire claims he's the only one that has contact with Mac's cousin.
Yeah, why?
Well, at 7 o'clock tonight, we spotted a couple of Escalante's men with Mac's cousin.
Near the Wayfarers Chapel.
Right.
Jesus. Nick speeds off down the freeway. Now he's crouching down on a train track next to Greg's body.
He's got some interesting hauls in him.
He went down, what can I tell you?
For only getting hit once or twice, he sure got him in the best spots, wouldn't you say? All right, who fired their gun? Everybody to the edge of the pier. Let's go, let's have a show of hands. Come on, people, hands in the air.
None of the officers raise their hands.
Well, how the fuck did this guy get dead?
Escalante's men got here ahead of us. That's when there was gunfire.
Nick walks over to a patch of sand, which a colleague illuminates with a torch beam. He sniffs a handful.
It stinks. It's gas fumes, so what? You know, I've been hearing for months now how Carlos was real upset because he shipped cocaine on a tanker where it got soaked in gasoline and he couldn't sell it.
What is this?
1,200 kilos, exactly. I think he just paid $500,000 for it, huh?
You're full of shit, Freesia. Carlos wouldn't go to all that trouble for $500,000.
Probably not, but who knows what he's really up to, huh? I mean, your snitch isn't gonna tell us.
Nick walks back towards Greg's body.
Where's Escalante?
I don't know. He said something about going back to his boat.
His boat?
He sailed up here from Ensenada. Said he wanted to go fishing for albacore on the way home.
Gone fishing?
Yeah. What is wrong with that?
Nick stares at Hal in disbelief for a moment, then approaches him holding a piece of paper.
Escalante is Carlos, you miserable shit.
Nick puts the paper in Hal's pocket, then walks away. Hal takes it out.
She works hard at a fashionable restaurant, but never takes the time to enjoy a good meal. She starts taking the time. She enjoys it. She goes from one customer to another, from your friend Nick Fresher to his friend Dale McCusick to... who knows? I'm sure the girl has friends of her own. The point is, she's discarded her traditional values. She's lost. Then she uses cocaine, for Christ's sake. Naturally, she dies. It's an American tragedy.
Don't worry, buddy. I won't kill her unless you approve.
If I don't approve?
Then we talk until you do.
Carlos lights up a joint, then offers it to Mac.
Come on, buddy. When was the last time we smoked some really good shit, huh? Come on. Life is serious enough.
Mac sits forward a little and smiles. Later, the red speedboat is bobbing gently next to the yacht. On a silent TV screen inside, bullfighters enter an arena. Carlos is sitting up on a counter, singing. Carlos inhales from his joint in between lines of the song, while nearby, Mac is out cold in a chair.
Santa Lucia, Santa.
Carlos's singing wakes him up.
Lucia.
Where is she?
Be the one calling you for help. It's been rowdy as hell down here tonight. What's up?
Gotta find a boat, Woody.
Probably out of Ensenada would have been for a mooring within the last 5 days.
You want me to call every harbor master between here and Mexico?
Yeah. Check McCusick's and get back to me right away.
Yeah, this is Woody Traynor, Tower 12.
Why would I do something like that? What for? What would I gain?
Believe me, Joanne, we've been sitting here doing nothing but asking ourselves that same question. I haven't seen any matador stand his ground in front of the horns like that since Arruza.
He's a pussy.
He's the finest matador in Mexico.
He's a pussy, man.
Why is that, buddy?
Oh, I don't know why. Look at him. Look at the matador, man. What does he fucking do? He dresses up in his little spangles and puts on his little fucking sequin jacket and wraps that sash around his waist and puts on his little pink stockings and his hair up in a little pigtail. I mean, that's a pussy.
Whoa.
I mean, that's what a bullfight is. And saying he's the pussy, huh?
With a bull.
I mean, they got that thing, and they wave it like a red flag. What do we do? We charge that sucker.
And so they always got the edge, because they always know what we're gonna do. We are fucking predictable, man. And they're just gonna stick it in and break it off, and that's it. And there's not a fucking thing you can say.
Bravo,
buddy. So what are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it? Well, you die. You fucking die. That's what you do.
Wait. I've seen him this way. He's very serious.
Mac has a gun to Carlos's throat. To Joanne.
Are you coming with me or are you going to stick around here?
By the speedboat.
This is a tragic fucking mistake, buddy. She'll testify and she'll get us all. She's the only one who can. What are you gonna do about that? What about your boy, your family, your friends? What are you gonna do?
Get in the boat.
Desatenle! Retrocedan!
Carlos's henchmen look on as Max slowly drives the boat, allowing Carlos to step out.
I urge you to reconsider!
Meet me at Pier 17. Stay up on Channel 12, I'll tell you when.
Carlos sneers as the speedboat disappears into the mist. Now the boat is speeding along through thick fog that has gathered on the water. Suddenly, it slows to a stop.
Son of a bitch. you go down below and get me a flashlight? I think there's one near the companionway.
Mac.
Can you do that right now, please? We haven't got all night here.
Having opened a compartment revealing the engine, Mac leans in to look at it as Joanne heads below. She finds the torch and turns it on. She looks shocked as she runs the beam over millions of dollars packaged in clear plastic.
How about that light?
She offers him the torch.
Could you turn it on? Here, just right. Could you hold it, please? Right, just there.
That's an awful lot of money.
$15 million.
It's an awful lot of money.
Yeah, well, money makes people predictable, at least. They're never going to be reliable. I guess there's nothing Nick doesn't know about me now.
I didn't talk about you.
Forget it.
I don't want to forget it.
I don't care what you want. As soon as I drop you off, you better take a long vacation to Fiji Islands or Bora Bora, because you're never going to live to testify.
I was never going to testify.
You're telling me. Could you hold the light?
Mac, I'd die before I'd hurt you.
Well, that was being arranged.
If you believe what Carlos said about me, why didn't you let him kill me? Why did you do what you did?
Could you hold the light, please? Could...
Mac. Mac, I love you.
You gotta stop talking, you know. I can fix this boat or somebody will get killed. Let me put it to you like this. Shut up or I'll smack you one. Now hold the light.
I love you.
The shock from the engine makes him knock into her, sending her crashing into the boat's dashboard. She looks at him defiantly.
Mac, I love you.
Don't say that again.
I love you.
He punches the windscreen behind her, and she rises to her feet, their faces close.
I love you.
He leans into her, resting his head on her shoulder. As they tightly embrace, she begins to cry.
That's Santana?
Tell you right now, Nick. Beach. If we find McCusick anywhere near Escalante, I'm going to put him away for 25 years.
That's not what we agreed on, Hal. You're reneging on a deal. You are a lying, no good cocksucker and a four-fleshing son of a bitch. But, no matter.
Hang on a sec.
You didn't tell me Mac was involved.
What difference does that make?
Mac's a friend.
He's a drug smuggler. What do you mean, Frisia?
Let's see. You've lost $500,000, confiscated a ton of useless coke, and been responsible for the murder of a federal informant. And that's just tonight.
That's all bullshit, Frisia, and you know it.
Well, have you thought about this?
What is Brainerd, Tyrant?
Mac can identify Escalante as Carlos and prove that you've been partners with the biggest drug dealer in Mexico for the past 8 years, whether you knew it or not. Perfect. And when you put Mac away, he puts you away.
About 10 minutes.
Any luck, Woody? Yeah, see ya. I gotta go post warning signs. Can you give me a hand?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's gonna make for messy headlines, Hal. At least the CIA does it on purpose.
When will I see you?
Well,
how about dinner?
What time do you want your reservation?
7:30.
I'll put it down. Anything else I can do?
Marry me.
Let's go. Let's do it now.
They're illuminated by the headlights of a yellow truck. It's Nick and the Coast Guard.
Nick, thanks for showing up.
How'd you two get here?
Boat. Could you excuse us? Did Woody have any trouble getting a hold of it?
No, none at all.
Nick, I need you to look after her for a while.
Either you tell me where Carlos is right now, or you become an accessory to your cousin's murder.
Nick, look,
Mac, you're under arrest. I hate to pull a gun on you, but that's the way it is.
Oh, well, at this point, that's nothing new. I mean, here's another gun you pulled.
It's the gun Carlos took from Joanne's purse.
Well, I don't believe you'll use that.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Nick.
I don't get it. I mean, you're not this stupid, Mac. I caught you. You can't pretend you're not caught. And what are you gonna do, spend the rest of your life in Mexico? You can't hide there either. You got one chance, buddy. Turn yourself in.
What for?
What for?
Yeah, what for? And I told you I had an accounting problem in the restaurant. I've been holding on to money for someone, and he's here to pick it up. I mean, it's his money.
I want to get this straight. You kill me over drug money?
Well, it's a lot of money.
They point the guns at each other.
What's it gonna be, Nick?
Man, I can't believe this. I really can't believe this. I can't believe what you've done with your fucking life.
I can't believe what you've done with your life. You figure you can do or say anything you want, just like Carlos. You try to fuck her, he tries to kill her. Woody's the only one of us who's worth anything. He's got a decent job. I'll be back in an hour and you can lock me up.
Hey. Hey!
Nick shoots his gun.
You lied to me. You wouldn't shoot me over money.
Mac turns away and gets back into the boat. Next, Nick approaches Joanne, who is waiting nearby.
Joanne, you gotta tell me where Mac's gone.
Why should I?
He's going to try to kill Carlos, because Carlos is trying to kill you.
Now Mac's speedboat cuts through the dark water, past a grim, derelict-looking ship.
Ensenada, this is Little Red. I'm approaching Pier 17. Ensenada, this is Little Red. I'm approaching Pier 17. Over.
Hal is listening to the radio in the Coast Guard's office. Carlos's henchmen realize that they have been speaking into the wrong walkie-talkie. Another small boat passes the grim ship. Hal takes off the DEA jacket he has been wearing and heads out with a walkie-talkie. Meanwhile, Mac cuts one of his boat's fuel lines. Next, he removes a pin from under one of the controls on the dashboard while fuel leaks out of a hole in the side of the boat. The second boat travels past him, with Carlos at the helm. Mac takes a seat on the edge of his boat as Carlos angrily throws a rope over a post and marches towards him.
You son of a bitch! How could you do this? Friendship is the only choice in life you can make that's yours. You can't choose your family. God damn it, I've had to face that. And no man should be judged for whatever direction his dick goes. That's like blaming a compass for pointing north, for Christ's sake. Friendship is all we have. We chose each other. How could you fuck it up? How could you make us look so bad?
Welcome aboard. Here, careful, it's loaded.
Keep it as a souvenir. You're gonna spend the rest of your life in jail, and I'm not gonna be there to take care of you. I'll be in a Mexican jail.
She's never gonna testify.
How can you say that, goddamn you?
Not against her husband, and if she can't testify against me, she can't testify against you.
She's gonna marry you. She said that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no! Under the circumstances, she would have said anything. She would have fucked the snake. Oh, come on now, be serious.
I am serious.
Carlos hangs his head and sighs.
I'm Tom Schnabel with Late Night Notes. Don't forget the edition at 3 a.m.
Don't you even want to check that, you know? Don't you want to check the look?
When it comes to money, buddy, I trust you. So how are we gonna do this?
Well, I don't feel like unloading $15 million. What do you say we just swap boats?
That's not exactly fair. This is a real nice boat.
The hell with it.
So this is it, huh? I hope she's worth it. And I hope she keeps her mouth shut. That's all I can say.
He hugs Mac.
Get out of here.
No, don't. Hold it. I got that thing rigged to blow sky high. Oh, God, I'm sorry, man. I hated like hell having to do that, but I didn't want her hurt.
You mind done doing it?
Sure. Well, look at it this way. If you tried anything, we both would have gone.
You love her that much?
Well, yeah.
As Mac leans into the engine, a car careers down a winding road. Mac wraps tape around the cut fuel line.
When I first heard that, I thought you had rigged the butane stove.
Well, I thought of that. Yeah, butane stove, but no, that's a little too hard to control. No, the ignition system is best. You knew.
I know you, buddy.
Mac leaves the leaking line.
Well, could you hand me up?
Carlos has been pointing a gun at Mac, who steps back and grabs him, struggling with the arm holding the weapon. The two men grunt with effort, and Carlos's arm is slowly forced downwards. They both grimace at the blast. Carlos falls away and looks down at a patch of blood on his stomach.
Oh, Jesus Christ, look at that. You shot me.
So what? You shot me.
Look at that. Look at my stomach.
You went too far, goddammit. Because you're my friend, that means you get to kill anybody you want? I mean,
and
what the fuck
you
is that?
Stop talking. It's making me sick.
Jesus, that looks bad.
That's what I've been telling you, for Christ's sake.
Now I gotta get you a fucking doctor.
Wait, don't move. Wait a minute. I feel seasick. I think it's time for both of us to quit.
I know.
I seen it coming for some time. Cocaine is no goddamn good for anybody. The future is grass. Grass, buddy. I got 60 ton of Thai stick coming in. It's on the way.
Carlos is lifeless.
Oh, no. Don't do this. God damn it. Don't do it. God damn it. Oh, fuck.
A bullet flies through Carlos's cheek.
Freeze! I said freeze! I'm unarmed. Don't shoot. I'm unarmed.
I'm turning myself in!
Sure, go ahead. Whatever you want.
Mac dives into the water over the back of the boat and Hal fires at him. Nick screeches to a halt nearby, then hears the shots. He runs towards the sound. Mac has reached a piece of derelict jetty. One of Hal's bullets ignites the fuel on the water's surface.
What are you doing, McGuire? Hey! He's turning himself in!
Mac is trying to get away from the flames.
Let it go, Hal!
Hal makes to fire again. He falls after being hit by a bullet from Nick.
Mac!
Nick tries to get to Mac, but the flames explode in front of him and knock him to the floor of the gangway. He watches as the speedboat goes up in flames as well. Now, calm waves lap the shore under an orange sky.
Joanne? Nick? Before you open for dinner, can you meet me down by Tower 12?
Joanne drives down towards Tower 12.
please. We have a strong riptide in this immediate area, and all lifeguards will be off duty soon. For your own safety, please stay out of the water.
She gets out of her car, then walks slowly towards the beach, wearing a grey silk dress and high-heeled shoes. A lifeguard in a passing truck eyes her up and down. Then, with Nick looking on from a clifftop, she spots something in the water and runs across the beach. Having kicked off her shoes, she runs across the sand into the waves.
How's our friend?
Fine.
Fine?
Aside from concussion and powder burns and being generally pissed off, yeah.
Joanne has found Mac in the water, and they cling to each other in the rolling waves. Nick smiles as he watches them.
Did my name come up?
Repeatedly.
Yeah, well, they're probably talking about me right now.
Mac and Joanne kiss passionately as they walk up onto the beach. The image freezes on them, locked in an eternal embrace.
Is it that we've been together much too long?